Yar har har, it's time to be some pirates.
Yar har.
Yar.
Matey. Me matey.
Yar. Yes, of course, you know, when you're thinking of like, oh, what game series are we going to have a pirate in? Of course we're talking about the Yakuza series.
You know, why not? Why not?
Why not?
Sure.
Why not indeed? Oh boy. Yes, hello, welcome to this week's episode of the Seasonal Anime Check of OVA. It's a podcast where we have conversations about video games, anime, and manga. Hello, I'm Jared, joined as always by Doc Allen.
Hello, Ladium. Yar.
Yeah, there you go. This is episode number 429, and we are discussing Like a Dragon, Pirate Yakuza in Hawaii. A mouthful of a title.
It is a mouthful. I just call it Pirate Yakuza. Yar. Ahoy, me matey.
Ahoy, me matey.
Yo-ho, and a bottle of
Yar-har.
Rum.
Yo-ho-ho.
You just turned him into Santa.
You know, maybe there was a Santa pirate.
You know what? You're right. I don't know. I don't know for certain, so maybe there is a Santa pirate.
It's true. Yes, this is the next installment in the... All right, there you go. This is the next installment in the Like a Dragon / Yakuza series, taking place after the events of Like a Dragon 8, Infinite Wealth. So if you haven't played that, you should probably play that before playing this, because they'll just straight out outright spoil the end of that game for you in the first couple of hours of this game.
Yep.
They do not care. They're like, hey, here's what happened. All right, anyways.
I sent you a message so that you can know why I freaked out.
Okay, yeah, you're right. You know, you're not wrong. That is true.
Santa is a pirate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nailed it. All
right. This game came out on February to the 21st of 2025 for the PlayStations, the Xboxes, and the PC. Yeah, this is a very similar style of game to Like a Dragon Gaiden, The Man Who Erased His Name, in terms of the way it's structured and everything. Excuse me for hitting my microphone wire. It is, you know, it's like 5 chapters, so it's a much shorter game, but it's also similar in the fact that, like, you know, you get to like the second chapter and the game kind of opens up for you, and then also it's like, all right, here's all the stuff you can do. Have at it. Have fun.
Yeah, we spent majority of the time in chapter two.
Yeah, you'll spend a lot of time in that chapter specifically, just doing all the stuff you can do right at the beginning. Yeah, and you were Majima. Majima is here.
Majima.
He's become a pirate because of just some wacky circumstances, of course, because it is Majima.
He can't remember anything.
He's an amnesiac. Again, another game we talk about with an amnesiac, and also, I guess you could say this also continues the trend of the legacy of the parent that we've kind of been going on for quite a while
yep,
now.
Yep, it sure does.
A lot of familiar themes this week.
Wow.
With this game.
Wow, look at us go.
Look at us go. But yeah, like you said, if you played Man Who Erased His Name, you'll be pretty familiar with how this game works and everything. But even still, like, I mean, we did everything that you could do in the game, and I think it took me about like 40 hours or so, at least 40.
That sounds right.
To get through everything. But that's like I said, doing literally everything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Let's talk about the development of this here game. This game was developed as a standalone expansion to Infinite Wealth following the success of the spinoff title, Like a Dragon Gaiden. According to RGG Studios director Masayoshi Yokoyama, the concept of Gaiden was a gamble due to its more compact size and scale, but due to its positive reception, it allowed the team to develop the series more deeply. Yokoyama thought about writing a story depicting Goro Majima as a follow-up to Infinite Wealth and chose the pirate angle as a way to do things differently than how the team usually did. Development started shortly before the release of Infinite Wealth and was first hinted at by Yokoyama in December of 2023. Yokoyama estimated the main story to be 1.3 to 1.4 times larger than that of Gaiden, which I think that makes sense. While the adventure section is much bigger due to the addition of new locales, Hawaii was chosen as a primary location as the team did not want to stop using the setting after just one game. Which, again, that's just how they kind of do things with these games.
Mm-hmm.
In May 2024, RGG Studio hosted a Minato Girls edition, similar to past games audition contests, where the winners would be chosen to appear in the then-announced new Like a Dragon game, in addition to performing promotional activities. The final five winners were announced on July 19th, 2024. During the same month, the studio confirmed that they would reveal their new game at TGS. And then in September, they hosted the RGG Summit 2024, where they revealed Pirate Yakuza in Hawaii for the first time, introduced the game's voice cast, and talked about the combat system and new activities. They put out a new trailer in October, detailing the naval combat system, and then they also confirmed a new release date of February 21st, 2025, moved up a week from its original date. And then they had a launch day patch that added the English and Chinese voices to the game itself. On the Metacritic, it has a 79 out of 100 for the PS5, an 81 out of 100 for the PC, and then an 89 out of 100 for the Xbox version, and then an overall 84% on OpenCritic. So yes, Pirate Yakuza. It is it's an interesting game because, you know, similar to Gaiden, it has its own little gimmick to it, where Gaiden had, you know, the whole like secret agent style of combat that Kiryu could do. In this, you have the pirate style that Majima can do, which is its own different thing, you know, because you're dual wielding sabers and all that sort of stuff. You have different moves and combos and all that sort of stuff compared to his more traditional fighting style, which, you know, uses his knife and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then also there is the naval combat stuff, which I was kind of hesitant on because I feel like a lot of times when you do naval combat, it doesn't really work out that well.
Right.
So I was kind of worried about how that was going to work here, but it's kind of just very simple, where you just, you know, you don't really have to like do a whole lot of like controls for it. Like, you know, you move the boat with like just the analog stick. That's how you kind of go and all that sort of stuff. And then, like, you know, you just have to line up your cannons on the sides if you want to do that. And if you want to like use your, there's like also a machine gun that's mounted on the boat you can just use when you're like kind of just sailing along. Which also helps. So, like, it's very, you know, rudimentary in that way, but I think also it helps in terms of, like, not being super overcomplicated and kind of just, like, making it way too much of a new mechanic that would probably just, like, make it not fun.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas here, it's just, like, you know, making it easier just makes it a lot better to play.
You can also use a rocket launcher, and you can also heal your ship.
Yes, you can, like, you can just be sailing and then you can get out of sailing and like kind of like run around the ship proper. Like, you need to like go heal people on the ship, heal your crew. You can just pull out a rocket launcher and shoot that at the boats, or you can just heal the boat yourself if there's like, you, it has a status effect on it or something of that nature. Yeah, you can do those sorts of things.
Feels very, very Majima to have a rocket launcher on the ship.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
100%. Yeah, so I played through this, I watched, because this is an action game, not a JRPG.
Right, I don't do well with those.
No, so you watched me play through the pirate game.
Although there were moments where it was kind of Musou-ish, and I was like, interesting.
Yes, that is true. There was some Musou-esque moments in this game, which was very interesting.
That was intriguing to me. Anyway, continue.
Yes. I was going to ask you, like, as an outsider, what was your opinion of the game?
Like, the gameplay?
Just the game itself, in general terms.
I mean, I think it was a fun game. I think that it was an entertaining thing to, like, go through, see what kind of piracy shenanigans we were going to get up to. Recruit wild people to be on our crew. I mean, it plays a lot like Gaiden in terms of like, hey, we're gonna be doing all these sub stories, and obviously it's like not gonna be as long as the other games. What else do I have to say about it? Had some really nice like characters, like some of the main characters I liked a lot.
Yeah.
That were not like Majima. I like Majima a lot, obviously, duh. But like I thought Masaru was interesting. I thought Noah's whole thing was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really care about Jason.
He's just there. He had his hat.
He was just there. You had some baddies that I was nervous about.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like you had some interesting characters. It was a fun time to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I was thrown off a little bit because it didn't like have as much of a like emotional punch as Gaiden did.
Sure, but I think as well, like going into it, you kind of knew there was going to be that emotional punch.
I didn't know that Gaiden was gonna have that emotional punch until it did. So you never know with these games.
Yeah, I mean, that is true, but also I think it's probably a little bit harder to do that with Majima.
You think so?
Which is like how his character is. It's like more kind of like wild and out there than just, you know, how Kiryu is per se. But yeah, like there really wasn't that big like time to super cry moment that you would get in or that you got in Gaiden.
I thought they were gonna give us to us at one point, but I don't wanna like get super into spoilers zone yet, but I don't wanna forget to say this either, so I don't know how to handle it.
We'll put it in the back of your mind.
I'm gonna write it down in our chat but not
Compartmentalize
send
it.
it.
Okay, that also works. That also works indeed. Yeah, we got a bunch of new mini games in here. There's a whole Coliseum for boating, essentially, where you go to this place called Madlantis, and they basically have their own Coliseum thing, but it's just for the ship battles, essentially. It's the same kind of deal. But you know, you just got that. So you got to go around, like you said, you got to go around recruit people, similar to what you had to do in Gaiden. You got to get your whole crew, upgrade them, upgrade your boat, so you can progress through these fights and everything. You know, it's kind of very similar to all that sort of stuff. There was the whole Minato girl thing where we had to set up Masaru with trying to get him set up with a gal, and then we
That
just got
was
this full on
funny.
like live
FMV.
action shot of Yakuza version of The Bachelor, essentially, and it was just completely out there and all over the place and a very wild time.
It was so funny. Like, that was really unexpected. And it like the entire thing was just really funny.
Yes.
I will say though that Kaho is much better looking in real life than they made her character model, and I feel like they kind of did her dirty.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, oh no.
Yeah, noted Twitch streamer Kaho Shibuya definitely didn't do anything else.
No, it didn't do anything else. iHongo also didn't do anything else. But you know, it was fun to see like Majima streaming. It
Just
was,
getting real into Virtual Fighter streaming.
well, we now know who he canonically plays.
Yep.
It was also fun to like with Kaho's story, him being like extremely sex positive, and I was like, oh hell yeah, good for you, buddy.
Yeah.
Because that easily could have gone a whole different direction and it didn't. Him being the cosplayer, that entire storyline was really fun. I didn't expect the live action part of it, but it ruled.
Yeah, so you didn't know about that, and I did. So I
No,
knew
I had
coming
no
into it like that
idea.
was going to be a thing eventually, and then when we got to that, you were just like, hang on, wait a minute. What's
I
going
had
on here?
no idea. It was super fun though. Like I don't think I stopped laughing while we were doing that entire segment.
It just goes all over the place. It's very fun.
And then like the way it ends is just chef's kiss. Beautiful. What a good way to end that sub story.
Very good.
Perfection. So yeah, that was obviously like one of the major requests that we did. That one was it was good. It's very good.
We got to save a bunch of animals and put them in like our own animal
Zoo.
sanctuary, which
Yeah.
was very interesting. Even though they
Yeah.
didn't really do a whole lot with it, but it
They
was fun just going
didn't.
around getting all those animals. You have
You
like
can
the whole
cook?
dr you yeah you get to there's a whole cooking thing kind of similar to guide not guide into
Ishin.
Ichin. There's drink links again. We can do that with like kind of like the main members of your crew and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, there's some deep cuts of characters they brought back.
There are some very deep cuts of characters they brought back that we were both just like, wow. I want to make mention of that later on when we talk more spoilery stuff, but yeah,
Okay.
it's very interesting. You can dress up Majima however you want with both his just a kind of like hanging out in Honolulu attire, which is, I guess, just a normal mm-hmm. attire, and also his pirate getup. And you can just do mm-hmm. it, like, with whatever you want. Like, they have specific outfits you can pick and choose from that are kind of, like, some of them are just, like, kind of generic theme, but also some of them, like, are very much callbacks to other stuff. Like, you can have him dressed up as the 24-hour Cinderella idol outfit. You can have him dressed up as Gorami. Or you can just, like, pick and choose from a bunch of different options as well. So, like, we had him in his, like, normal attire was the idol outfit. And mm-hmm. then for when he was as a pirate, we had him in a magical top hat.
Mm-hmm.
We had glasses over the eye patch.
Of course.
Of course. The Obasan's tiger sweater thing.
Yep.
Some cut-off denim jeans, some jorts.
Some jorts.
And then had him in some Crocs.
Some purple Crocs.
That's his pirate attire.
It was so good.
It was incredible.
I was sad when he got moved out of that for things, but oh, man. It was such a funny outfit because when he did show up in cutscenes with that, I was just like, oh, wow.
It's very funny.
It was really funny. I'm glad they let us be a little bit of a menace with that. I mean, he's in his 60s, so let the man wear Crocs if he wants to.
Yeah, let him have some comfort. But you can, like, you can go full on with, like, the customization stuff here, because they give you, like, a ton of options. There's a ton of options to go and, like, buy stuff. Also, you can do this for the ship as well, where you can you can customize, like, the sails, the body of the ship, the front piece of the ship, and all that sort of stuff. So there's quite a few different options you can do with all that sort of stuff as well, which is fun. I know what you're laughing about. Yes, that is very good.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, there's
you
a lot
dress
of,
up Goro as well.
You can also dress up Goro, who is the little tiger that Noah runs around
Goro's
with.
Goro's a cat?
Sorry, Goro the cat, of course. Definitely not a tiger. Definitely not a tiger. So yeah, you can, like, do a little customization for Goro as well, which is fun. Yeah, mm-hmm. a lot of good fun customization options here. All the music stuff's back from 7 and 8, and now you get things like you can have the Angry Birds theme playing if you want. Because why not?
Why not?
That's silly.
But we have, like, reload music in here now. And yeah. Metaphor.
Yeah.
Metaphor music kicked in at one point during a ship battle. It was just perfect.
It's very good. Some of the people from some of the characters you would have met in Hawaii are back here again, like Kason and the bartender are back here, because you go to the bar here and you do karaoke and you hang out there for sometimes, so that becomes kind of like a hangout spot. So, like, those two are back, which I thought was surprising, because I figured they would just have replaced them or something, because usually they don't mm-hmm. bring back those kind of smaller side characters for games that they're, like, where they revisit the setting, essentially. So I was like, wow,
right.
Kason got another paycheck from them. That's cool.
Yeah, and I was curious, like, were they going to put her in it, because, like, I didn't know if they had any kind of agreement on it, or...
Yeah.
Like, honestly, she probably put herself in there, like,
yeah, no
for no payment.
Yeah,
she's like, all right, let me be in.
Yeah, she's there. She introduces you to, like, the friend thing again, which is a similar mm-hmm. thing that's an infinite wealth and all that sort of stuff. And then you mm-hmm. can just put her on on your ship, which mm-hmm. is very fun.
It is very fun.
But yeah, a lot of good fun minigame stuff here. The gameplay is, you know, it is the more traditional Like a Dragon slash Yakuza style with the action. All that stuff feels pretty good. Some of the pirate stuff.
You also have a hook.
Yeah, the pirate stuff you can get, like, a lot more, like, different things to do. Like, you can throw your sabers at people. You have a gun at one point. Like Al said, there's, like, a little hook you can use. Like, you can basically just kind of, not create distance. Basically just warp to someone, essentially, just, like, by hooking them and just going right to them, which is very nice. Mm-hmm. Especially for the gun people who just like to hide out in corners and shoot you.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just be like, yeah.
It is nice that they have, like, a sound effect that goes with the guns this time, so you know when they're about to shoot at you.
Yeah, so you can dodge out of the way, which is nice.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
But yeah, that's kind of like the gist of the mechanics and all that sort of stuff. Dragon cards in here again. Crazy
I
delivery.
I was surprised to see Dragon Card back.
There are some returning mini games as well. You can play Master System games again if you really want to. I don't know mm-hmm. if you really want to, but, you know, those are here.
You can technically fish.
Yeah, kind of.
You can either fish with your hands or you can use your hook.
It is technically fishing.
It is technically fishing.
Just not traditional fishing, let's say.
He does not have a rod.
No.
Mm-mm. You also forgot to mention on the certain ship battles, you have to do like the, like,
oh, were you like, you
the pirate battle,
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, you take down like kind of like the leader of the pirates you're fighting against, and then you'll have to go kind of board their ship and fight them on their ship type deal. So yeah, that's a thing you can do.
Oh, I meant the sideways, like, fighting game type thing up on the mast.
Oh, there is that as well, which is, that was very weird. They only used it like a couple of times.
Yeah, it's
it
usually
like
plot-related
stuff.
So, I imagine it didn't.
Maybe a good thing they didn't use that often. But yeah. Let's dive into some spoilers, I guess.
Spoilers!
Spoiler time. Get out of here if you haven't listened or you haven't played or you,
goodbye.
You don't want to get spoiled type deal.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. All right, spoiler time.
Didn't expect a dance number.
Oh, I forgot there was a... This game is basically just an Eye of the Somnium Files game where there's a dance number in the credits. I forgot that was
How
a thing.
How could you forget?
Look, there's a lot of stuff in this game that, you know, is... that was a thing. I forgot about that. That was very silly.
It was really silly. I loved it.
You mentioned this earlier. It was very surprising to see. It wasn't surprising to see Nishida back because, like, he always shows up for Majima stuff. But mm-hmm. Minami showing up was like, wait a minute.
That's a deep cut.
You were from 4 and then didn't show up again ever. So, like, what are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
That was a very good deep cut. I didn't know this until just now that apparently the voice actor for Minami is also the voice actor for Ouron in Final Fantasy X.
Oh.
He's also Itachi in Naruto and also the voice actor for Leon.
No.
Good old Squall.
Oh my goodness. Oh, we should have mentioned there's an English dub and it's pretty good.
Well, we did say that they put in an English dub.
I know, but we didn't say it was pretty good.
Well, we didn't watch it.
I watched parts of it just so I could be curious. And I watched all of the karaoke songs in English. Yeah. Matt Mercer understood the assignment.
It's very funny seeing Matt Mercer sing.
He's a very good singer though, but like he understood what he was supposed to be doing here with Majima, and I can appreciate that because that's a very hard role to step into.
Also, just it's very weird to hear those songs in English, like some of the more well known Majima songs, just being like, hang on a second.
Hang on.
Yeah, so that was they also like you know, the main antagonist of this game, Raymond Law, is modeled and voiced by Samoa Joe, professional wrestler.
Didn't know that until you told me.
He looks great in the game itself. I watched some of the cutscenes that he does the voice stuff for, and I was like, yeah, that's Joe. That sounds like him. He's just yelling Goro f- Majima at Majima.
You know, as you do.
I was like, hell yeah. So that was cool to see him in this. Once again, we get a second Yakuza game featuring a member of a Love Live cast. Al does not know because that's why she's silent.
Yeah, who?
Naomi is voiced by Yoko Hikasa, who, of course, is Kaoruko in Nijigasaki.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I didn't know that.
I mean, she's also like, you know, Kirigiri and Danganronpa and Mio and K-On, but, you know.
But the Love
More
Live.
More important things, yes.
You gotta bring up the Love Live.
The Love Live. Yes.
Wait, so who is this, Naomi?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Jason's eldest daughter.
Yeah, I just took me a second to remember which daughter that was.
Also Lylaps as well, I forgot about that. She's also Lylaps.
Lylaps!
So yes, double Love Live representation.
Wow.
Back-to-back games now.
Legit.
I mean, you also get the Anju song in this game as well, which is
nice. You put that on the boat.
Throw that on the playlist and you're good to go.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And then also they got the guy from the live action Like a Dragon television series who played Majima. He's in this game. He actually has a bigger role. He actually is in here for more than 2 minutes. That was fun to see like live action Majima going head to head against game Majima. Like that was a fun little thing. If you know, type thing.
If you know what you know, yeah.
Yeah, so that's fun. He plays a Shigaki who is just like a little. Who's just there to try and, you know, get rich here. Which I guess we should mention, the plot of this game, essentially, like you said earlier, Majima washes up on the shore of Rich Island. He gets helped by Noah, who's this little kid who helps him around, tries to get his bearings.
Asthma.
Has asthma, of course. Majima has amnesia, doesn't know what's happening. And then basically they go to the one island. That the Palakana, the religious people were at. What was that island called?
Nele
Island, yes. So, like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth spoilers, of course, they are still cleaning up the nuclear waste that is still on that island from when Palakana was just storing it there so they could, like, you know, use it to... They were basically getting it from bad people to store it there, and that's how they were making business deals and all that sort of stuff. And the Yakuza have come over to basically help with the cleanup of that. But also, what we find out later on is that that's not all that they're there for. There's also, everyone is trying to find this treasure of Esperanza, which apparently contains a boatload of treasure, no pun intended, and an eternal life elixir. And apparently it is on Nele Island. So that's why everyone's kind of just swarming there and trying to get it. So, like, Majima eventually figures this out. He teams up with Jason, who is Noah's dad on Rich Island, who basically just, like, had a bad time at Mad Atlantis one time and got some people killed. Now he's kind of holed himself up on this island and doesn't want his son to leave or anything. Also, because he's got asthma and they can't fix the asthma. So he's like, I don't want you to leave. This place is good for your asthma.
And Jason's also kind of a drunk.
Jason's also just a drunk at this point as well. Yeah. And Majima's like, I'm going to get you off this island, kid. And then he runs afoul of some pirates and then kind of just takes over a boat and becomes a pirate captain.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then they learn about the treasure, and then everyone basically is going after this treasure. And that's kind of the gist of this entire game. So, yeah, you have Majima and his crew going after it. Shigaki and these former Tojo clan folks who are on Nele Island to clean up the mess are going after it. Rodriguez is a former Palakana dude, and he's got some of the other people who are still there, you know, because they just haven't kind of given up the faith and anything. He's also kind of going after it as well. And then you got the people who run Mad Atlantis, Queen Michelle and Raymond Law, who are also going after it in their own separate ways. And then there's this old guy from New York, Spade Tucker, who's like, has the information about it and also is going after it as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of your gist of this game, and a lot of stuff happens. And then Saijima shows up at one point. He's like, Majima, we got to go home.
Come home. We got to get you some health care because you hit your head.
You have amnesia, bro. And Majima's like, I don't know who you are. Don't call me, bro.
Call me captain.
I'm the captain here. And Saijima's like, ah. What did I do?
Sure.
What did I do to have this happen?
Also, he's very corporate, Saijima. Like, he's dressed so fancy.
Got a nice button up.
Yeah, it's some khakis, yeah, some slacks.
Doesn't have his big old jacket. He's just looking, he's, you know, he's dressed nice. He's
looking professional.
Yeah, he's in his old age now. He's just like, you know, I gotta look professional. I'm on the job here. Gotta do my stuff and all that.
Gotta check out my brother who's out here being a weird amnesiac pirate.
Being a weird amnesiac pirate, yep.
Oh, we forgot to mention the haunted instruments, too.
Yes, there are haunted instruments you get from, like, there's another side story where you go fight these pirates that murdered one of Jason's friends, and you basically pick up the daughter, and she's like, I'm gonna kill these dudes! And there's multiple scenes of her just like, I can't let anyone else die, and then you see her holding out a Glock, and it's like, damn, let's go.
Yay!
Well, yeah, that's a whole sub-story deal. And then, like, eventually you run into, like, these treasures that are, like, these ghost instruments that, like, you play them and they summon various aquatic life or island life to help you
island
out.
Island life.
Like, you have, like, a violin that or something that plays that you can get sharks from. Which those were the sharks in this game. That's it. That's all there is. So... I saw...
Yay!
So the screenshot I saw was of that, of them being summoned, essentially. It wasn't just, like, Majima fighting sharks, so I went back and looked at it. I was like, oh, that's just the ghost sharks. Okay.
I see. So I had to look away for that, but then you got other instruments and it was fine. Like, you got the monkey.
Monkey. Did you play the guitar for?
I was like, that's guitar.
You played something and you got jellyfish. I forget what you played.
I also forget.
And then there's like the is it the saxophone that brings out
saxophone
our,
for the parrot.
The real OG, the bird.
The bird.
The bird is OP in this game because it just basically will, you summon it and it basically will just like warp everyone into a tornado and just do damage to them. And it also does so much clearing. So like there's these fights where you can like, you'll fight against like pirate crews and it's like 100 people you have to fight. You summon the bird immediately, you can wipe that entire like group in half. So like they'll be down to 50 immediately. It's so good.
Wild. It's so efficient.
Bird. We love bird.
It's an ocarina.
Yes.
Ocarina for jellyfish.
The ocarina summons the jellyfish. You're right. But yeah, those were fun.
But
those are fun.
The bird
is
the champion.
Yes, the bird is the best one. What were we talking about? I forget now.
I don't know. I was going to say, though, with that one that that Noah ends up getting a crush.
Yeah. She's that girl is kind of also
really learning some stuff.
That girl's also funny because like she's kind of like she's there for that side story, but then all the other like main story stuff, she's kind of just like
she's not
around.
There.
She's very much like the gal from the Ichiban Confectionery's side story in 7.
Yes.
Where,
yes.
Like, she's a bonus party member, but then like anything like main story, she's
just not
Where'd
there.
Where'd you go?
Yeah, it's wild that like she's not there, but Captain Beef is.
Listen, Captain Beef is
like
very important.
He is, but he was, you know, a required recruit, so he was always there. Yeah. But it was just funny that Captain Beef was always
Captain
there.
Beef.
Making all his weird meat
weird
puns.
Cow puns. Oh, jeez.
We were talking about Saejima, and then...
Yes.
Somehow I got off on the instrument.
What was the thing you wrote down you wanted to bring up?
Oh, I was going to talk about how I am a little bit bummed that they didn't really do more. Like, we find out that his reason for going in the first place was, like, a kind of the, he had heard the rumors about this and heard about the, like, elixir of life type thing. And so, like, it's obvious he was going to go get that and try and give it to Kiryu.
Yes.
And I wish they had, like, done more with that. It felt like it was really glossed over of, like, oh, by the way, this was happening. And I don't know. It just felt like that could have had a much bigger emotional impact than it did.
I don't know, like, though, how much more they really could have done with it, though. Because, like, it's definitely brought up at the end of the game. And it's like, oh, this is the real reason you were going there. And it's like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. That sounds like a Majima thing to do. Like, he would chase after this very wild rumor that sounds kind of implausible, but also, like, maybe it's true. And he's like, I'm going to go, if that's true, go help my bro out.
Mm-hmm.
That's my guy.
I just felt like they could have done more with it. I wanted them to make me cry.
That's a very odd thing to say.
Because, like, the ending, like, epilogue cutscene, it was very good with the two of them just, like, chatting about, you know, life and death and all that. And
getting old.
Professional and calling Daigo a kid.
Yeah, it's very funny.
And I think that's actually where they reveal that, like, that's what
yes.
he was looking for, right?
Because it's them standing, they go... There's like a full post-credit scene of...
Still can't believe they're smoking when yeah. Kiryu's dying of lung cancer.
Yeah, there's a whole post-credit scene of them back in Japan, of Saejima and Majima back in Japan, and they're driving towards the hospital that Kiryu's in, and they get out of the car and just like to have a smoke and chat before they go in to go see him and all that sort of stuff, and then that's where Saejima brings up the fact of like, oh yeah, you also, you know, you knew, we knew about you going out there to treasure hunt. That was the reason you went out there. And then... Lo and behold, you found your way to the treasure anyways. Isn't that weird? Life finds a way.
Yep. And I mentioned a few times, the real treasure was the friends we made along the way.
It very much was.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they could have done a little bit more with it, but I can also see your perspective on like how would they have done it. But that's just personally how I feel. I wanted them to make me cry.
Again, like Majima really isn't like the big like... We're going to give you huge emotional beats of like that nature of like let's make you cry type deal. Like, obviously he has...
Do you remember me with Yakuza Zero?
That's what I'm saying. Like, obviously there's the stuff in Zero, but, like, that's kind of an exception to the rule. Like, there isn't a whole lot of that outside of that game, really. And then I feel like it would be... It would just feel weird, in a way, to, like, have that with Majima.
You think so?
And just a little bit. Like, I don't know if, like, it would necessarily... hit it would just I feel like it would be kind of out of place, because like I don't think Majima would just be like sitting here being like, I'm gonna get all emotional and teared up about thinking about going and getting this elixir to help Kiryu. He would just be like, yeah, I'm gonna go do that, let's go.
Well, I'm not saying like I want him to cry, I want me to cry, not him.
Well, maybe you just weren't, you were just tired and you couldn't muster up the tears. They weren't there wasn't enough sympathy crying for you.
There wasn't. I kind of wanted to hear more of like what they've been up to since 8.
I mean,
but I did also think,
I mean,
piracy, obviously.
Well, I mean, we could also just tear off the bandage here and say that, hey, this game ends with a to be continued.
It does. That's true.
So They can dive more into some of the stuff they've been up to and whatever they're doing next that's going to involve Majima and other folks, I guess.
The to be continued was really
intriguing.
Yes,
we were both just kind of sitting there like, what? Huh? Excuse me?
Because we're kind of hoping that it leads to like a swan song of the old crew. Yeah,
I feel like that's the only thing that really makes sense.
Yeah, it is.
Like, I don't see them just being like, oh, we're going to do another pirate game or just another Majima game. Like, I feel like if you're going to put that on the end of this thing in particular, like, it's got to be like, hey, this is, we're going to, and with the way they end this game of Majima and Saijima going up to Kiryu to tell Kiryu about their whole wild piracy story and everything, that, like, we're going to finish up this story finally once and for all. In terms of Kiryu and all the old heads, essentially. It's super wild to think that, like, you know, when Yakuza 6 came out, that was supposed to be the end of the Kiryu story.
Right. And now we're post 8.
Here we are, like, what, 8 years later, essentially? And we're still not done with it?
To be continued.
Which I think it would be more interesting to get, like, a wrap-ups for, like, Majima and Saijima and Daigo and everyone. Like, I know Kiryu doesn't super need that now, because I feel like Infinite Wealth kind of gave him that with all the stuff that they let you do with Kiryu in that game.
His bucket list and like the very ending of him getting his name back,
like, all that stuff is kind of wrapped up. And I feel like it obviously, like,
let him rest,
but also, like, he would be in that game, he would be in a game with, you know, the OGs essentially. Like, they wouldn't just leave him out of that. So, like, it wouldn't necessarily be him just, like, missing all the fun and everything. Like, he would show up here and there probably. But, like, he doesn't need necessarily maybe the wrap-up that, like, these other guys do. And, like, just let them ride off into the sunset type deal.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, we don't know what that's going to be, though. That's the weird thing. Like, is this going to be another side game type deal like this and Man Who Erased His Name? Or are they going to kind of like roll all of this into 9, which I feel like would be kind of weird because they kind of did the same thing with Infinite Wealth. And I don't know if you could really do that again.
I would prefer that stays as like a side story and that 9 is really like Ichiban and his crew. Which, good lord, the video filming with him recounting the story is so funny.
Yeah, there's a good bit within the credits of... So you begin the game and it's like Majima's recounting the story of what happened. And you get a few bits and pieces of that here and there throughout the game. But at the end, it's like, all right, here's Majima finishing up the story. And like Nishida and Minami are there and they're talking about like, oh, you didn't get any of the treasure. You just let everyone else.
You wanted this picture.
You know, the friends we made along the way type deal. And then also you see as well, like, they're talking and then the camera kind of just pans over that Ichiban's over there as well. And he's just like, he comes over to Majima and he's like, are you sure this is true? Did this really happen? And Majima's like, bro, come on.
This kid doesn't
believe
me.
You're not going to believe me? It's just very funny. Ichiban's like, I don't know about that. There's a great part where they're talking about Majima when he fights the giant squid, and that's the impetus of him getting his memories back. And Ichiban's just like, I also fought one of those things, and like, I think if there was more than one of those, people would know about that. Come on. You're pulling my leg here. It's so, good. Like
Especially because the one he fought was on Nelly Island.
I feel like adding Ichiban here as kind of like the questioning voice was a very good little silly thing.
It totally was. I like that a lot.
That was fun. And then also you find out there actually was an elixir, but it was just like these weird ass rocks that Rodriguez's dad had found and was using, and allegedly also Bryce was using as well.
The whale poop.
It was just rocks, and then he just dumps them out in the sea as right before he dies.
I'm gonna find it. I don't know how to say
ambergris.
It.
Ambergris.
Yeah, is that how you say it?
Ambergris, ambergris, or gray amber. Freshly is produced in the digestive system of sperm whales. It freshly produced ambergris has a marine fecal odor. It acquires
Love
a sweet
that.
Earthy scent as it ages. Commonly likened to the fragrance
Gross.
Of isopropyl alcohol.
Great.
Dogs are attracted to the scent of ambergris and are sometimes used by ambergris searchers. There you go. Now you know.
Oh, man. But yeah, so that was the actual elixir was ambergris.
Ambergris trade is illegal in the United States, by the way. But if you want to go to like the UK, France, Switzerland, and the Maldives, you can totally trade it there. Very legal.
Formed from a secretion of the bile duct in the intestines of the sperm whale and can be found floating on the sea or washed up on coastlines. It is sometimes found in the abdomens of dead sperm whales. Because the beaks of giant squids have been discovered within lumps of ambergris, scientists have hypothesized that the substance is produced by the whale's gastrointestinal tract to ease the passage of hard, sharp objects that it may have eaten. Interesting that giant squid is mentioned here. But it also does say citation needed, so. It's past like fecal matter.
Did you know the substance is considered an aphrodisiac in some cultures?
You know, some people really need
to
stop.
Did you know ancient Egyptians burned ambergris as incense, while in modern Egypt, ambergris is used for scenting cigarettes?
Again,
the ancient Chinese
called
the substance dragon spittle fragrance, which I think they kind of dive into in the game, because they kind of talk about it being like some kind of Chinese medicine deal. But also, during the Black Death in Europe, you know, everyone's favorite time of European eras, people believed that carrying a ball of ambergris could help prevent them from contracting the plague. This is because the fragrance covered the smell of the air, which was believed to be a cause of the plague. Now you know.
The fact that it's like, hey, it has a strong fecal smell, and then people are like, perfume.
I don't know if I was going to say, hey, do I want to smell poop, or do I want to die of the black plague? I think I'm going to smell poop.
I mean, I'm going to pick the poop too, but I'm saying that like perfume is a little bit different, that you're like, let me get this poop and perfume.
Well, I guess like there
like,
are technically they are like it's not the same thing as when they're using it in perfume. It's a similar, you know, chemical structure, but it's not, they're not just like taking this rock and like dumping it into a bottle of perfume. Like, job's done. We did it.
They're going to love this. But yeah, so that is the elixir of life, is whale poop.
Rodriguez's dad just like wakes up, hears that they found the treasure, and then just goes out to sea and is like, all right, gotta dump out my whale poop and come back and die.
I love that Rodriguez is like, yeah, you know, dad woke up and just started throwing some rocks from the front yard in the ocean.
Real strange,
that was
anyways.
Weird anyway. I was like, oh no. Yeah, he just came back in and was like, all right, time to die, bitch. Because they're like, oh man, he would be hundreds of years old. That's weird, isn't it, huh?
Because one of the twists at the end as well is like, they're like, oh, he was supposedly he was just like a dude that was on that ship. He was the dude that was at the ship that the treasure came from.
And then he just stayed on the island.
Which again, there's is another thing of like two dudes in Palakana just like being way older than they should be, him and Bryce. And there's like that photo of him and Bryce, and then they zoom in on the photo and there's like a little tiny rock on the table with them poking out from the side. It's like, interesting.
The whole thing was that like whoever was on that ship originally like could take something of the treasure for themselves. And so like once they realize everything, like, oh, maybe he took the elixir because he's old as hell.
It's like him, it's Rodriguez and Shigaki and just like some dudes there just chit-chatting about this. They're both just like, maybe he took the elixir. Nah, that's silly. Nah.
Whale poop.
Anyways, you want to go clean up some nuclear waste now, I guess? I don't know. I guess that's all we're doing. Yeah, all this stuff was silly. All the stuff with them trying to get the treasure was a silly time.
Michelle got
blown up. Yeah, she got blown up very big. She was like, I'm fine. I run Madlantis. And Samoa Joe's like, nah, I run it now. You're going to get blown up. And she got blown up.
She got blown up. Naomi's like, oh, I guess I don't have a boss anymore. Okay. Anyway, Majima.
Yeah,
can
I was
I
very
help
sad
you?
That when you fight Raymond Law, he does not do a bunch of Samoa Joe's wrestling moves. Very disappointed that. He does hit Majima with a big lariat at one point, which is fun. But he doesn't hit him with the muscle buster or just try and choke him out. Disappointing.
I did think one of the cool moments, which you had to point it out to me because I didn't notice it, was when Majima calls Saijima brother or something like that when like things are going bad with Jason.
There's a whole thing that goes down with them trying to fighting over the treasure because there's like because Raymond Law's like I got the younger daughter. Give me the treasure and I'll give her back. And they're like, okay, we'll give the daughter back. And Shigaki's
Moana.
Like, nah, we're not doing that. We're taking the treasure. And then they have a big fight and scuffle. And then he goes to stab Noah, even though he's like, I was just going to scare him. And then Jason gets in the way and gets stabbed. And everyone's like, ah, no. And then Majima immediately is like, yo, we got to get help. He like yells at Saijima like, hey, we got to go. We got to help him. We got to go get help. And he calls him a Kyodai there. And I was like, interesting. Because that was a...
Because this is post-Squid
in the Squid moment, like him thinking, remembering back to when he fought the Squid originally, and that's when he got his boat crash and all that sort of stuff, and that ended up him washing up on Rich Island and everything. But it makes sense that he would say that in that moment, especially if he's getting his memories back and all that sort of stuff, because of like how instinctual he had to be in that moment, being like, okay, we need to get help now. Like, no thinking. And he just said, like, he sees Saijima, he's like, hey, let's go. And he just calls him what he always calls him, essentially. So I was like,
Yeah, he basically forgot to keep the charade up that he couldn't remember because he wanted to keep it up until everything was solved. And Saijima's like, so, you've been remembering for a while, huh? You got everything back with that squid? And he's like,
that happened. Saijima's like, gosh, dang it.
Darn it, brother.
Such a doofus. Yes.
And then him and the Naomi like rescuing Majima when he got like beat to hell. And he's like,
the best part was Saijima coming in with the hat.
The hat?
So funny.
I loved it. It was so good.
I was like, yeah, wear the hat. And he's like, here you go. This is your hat. And he's like, oh.
This is your hat. Oh.
My goodness.
It's his hat. I can't believe you forgot the dance number.
Like I said, a lot happened in this game.
A lot did happen.
But yeah, the dance number is very funny.
It's very funny.
I was not
funny.
Expecting this game and the Somnium Files, both games, to you know, feature credits dance scenes. But here we are.
Mm-hmm. Here we are. Funny. It's very good.
Man, interesting stuff happens in this game. Like we talked about, I'm very curious to see where they go next, especially with that to be continued thing at the end that they teased, because they have not really said, like, hey, here's what we're working on next. Obviously, this is the indication, hey, we're working on something next.
Right. They're cooking something. We just don't know what.
But what exactly? Who knows? Well, I guess, like, they have talked about things they are making. Like, they're making the next Virtua Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
They're making that Project Century game.
Right.
But those are the only things they've mentioned. That,
but
like,
we don't know what they're making in this universe.
Yeah. You know, at some point next year, we will get probably another RGG Summit type deal, and they'll be like, hey, here's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not that's just like, here's the next mainline game or not, who knows, but, you know, we'll have to wait and see. Because it was 4 years between 7 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, they put out, you know, Lost Judgment, they put out Ishin, they put out Man Who Erased His Name, so there was some stuff to put out in between, you know, those two games coming out. And now we have the pirate game, and then we'll have whatever the Project Century game ends up being, and then probably some other.
I assume we're going to get something related to Judgment at some point.
I hope so. Just figure out what you got to do with the actor situation. Get that mm-hmm. sorted and make a new game.
Please.
Let me see Yagami and Kaito, the boys back in town.
The boys are back in town.
Because those games are very good.
They are very good. But I feel like if we have, like, you know, some of those, it gives them enough time to cook up 9.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll probably do more stuff like that. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do next post this game.
I do wonder if they're going to have to do the to-be-continued game between this and 9. Like, depending on what happens. I don't know. I'm interested.
Yeah, like, I wonder if it's going to be, like, if it'll be, like, that, or, like, it'll be kind of, like, a concurrent thing, like how Gaiden was a concurrent thing with 7 in some parts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, again, all this stuff is just, you know, us theorizing because they have not said anything, but yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what they do next with this series in particular, because that was a shocking thing to see. Was not mm-hmm. expecting it in the slightest, but yeah.
No, I was not either. I mean, what a wild thing to slap at the end of, like, a goofy pirate
game. Yeah, because you think, like, oh, you know, this is just one and done, we're done, you know, they're going to go talk to Kiryu, and, you know, ba-da-da-da, and here's the end part, and then, like, no, we're not done here yet.
To be continued.
To be continued. Yeah. This was a fun game. I enjoyed it. I thought it might be a little gimmicky, but it was a fun little story they ended up making, and Majima fit in right well with the idea of being a pirate. He, you know,
he's perfect for it.
He got right into being a pirate captain and was like, this is my thing, I'm gonna do it, and it just, you know, it made a whole lot of sense. And like you said, a lot of the new characters were fun as well. Some of the returning characters were some surprising and interesting additions here and there.
And we just looked like a menace on the seas with our boat.
We sure did look like a menace on the seas with our boat. It was a good old time. Yeah. I think, like you know, you played through Infinite Wealth and you want more, this is obviously more, so you should probably play it. And also, if you like the structure of Gaiden, you know, the kind of, like, the shorter game structure that Gaiden introduced, like, this is very much in that wheelhouse. So, like, you'll feel right at home in terms of how this game plays and all the stuff that's in it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's it. That's Pirate Yakuza in Hawaii. Majima sure was a Pirate Yakuza in Hawaii.
Sure was.
He sure was.
We pirated and we Yakuza'd.
We did both, for sure. But that's going to do it for us this week.
This week?
This week. So if you'd like more from us, head on over to seasonlandmycheckup.com or sac.cool, where you can find past episodes of this podcast and other podcasts. Like Jared Now Watch, you can also find columns and reviews on the site as well. If you'd like more from AnnLadium, go to AnnLadium.com, see the columns and reviews. You can follow us on Twitter and TikTok at Anime Checkup. Follow us on Blue Sky SeasonalAnimeCheckup.com. You can buy our books, One Shining Moment, A Critical Analysis of Love, Life, Sunshine, Hot Tubs, and Pac-Man on Amazon.com. And explore us on Patreon, patreon.com/SACOVA. Buys a slice of pizza, get access to unedited versions of the podcast early. Our bonus monthly Patreon podcast is up there. We got a wealth of other bonus content on the Patreon as well.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, I don't know what we're going to talk about. We have basically a buffer week if we want to use it, and then probably the week after we'll have to dive into some tournament action.
Oh, snap.
March Madness! We'll have to figure that out as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we got some things to figure out over the next couple of weeks.
Yay.